Hello, welcome back to a comedian called Carl Drinking Coffee. My name is Carl Donnelly. This is episode 107. I got the episode number wrong yesterday. I said 105, it was 106. But more importantly, it's day 23 of my speciality coffee advent calendar, all the way from the Czech Republic. That's where it comes from. It's quite a cool, hip coffee roastery place in the Czech Republic has compiled 24 coffees from around Europe, but from around different European roasters, and made a lovely big advent calendar which I'm working my way through. It's an absolute treat. Day 23 is candy cane coffee from the Czech Republic. Beans are from El Salvador. It's lovely. It's got almost a little tiny smokiness to it. A bit of like a honey richness. It's just a very, very good coffee. No messing around. I don't think it's an award winner, but I think it's one that I'm very happy with. And oh, thank you. How the bloody hell is everyone? It's Christmas Eve. This for a period of time, I think I mentioned it on an episode maybe a week ago. We used to, when we were young, in our youth, up until about 21, 22, maybe 23 or 24. Christmas Eve was our big drinking night, me and my mates. It would just go bananas. Then, as mid-20s came and people started getting into, like, you know, proper long-term relationships and things like that, started to become more of a Christmas Day. I shouldn't ruin Christmas Day, because I'm, you know, especially if, like, you sometimes be like, I'm spending it with my partner's family. I can't literally be nipping off every 10 minutes to vomit. So we moved it to the 23rd, and it was it became the 23rd drinking session. Now, obviously, with everyone's got babies and things, and that, you know, sometimes it still happens, but, you know, obviously this year, nothing's happening because everything is shut because of this thing called the coronavirus that I've heard is kicking around. So there was mooted a Zoom sort of quiz type thing tonight, and this is a sign of the fatigue of 2020. You know, we did a few of them early doors, me and my old mates, like, and we're not really we were never pub quiz goers, you know. We're very much a It's quite an interesting group. There's about 15 of us who've known each other, some of us from since we were like 5 years old. And it's like, and the group has sort of brought other, like, little other groups in, and, you know, this group has essentially been friends from since primary school. Then some people came in during secondary school. Lovely bunch of men, basically, that have somehow stayed friends despite us all going off in very different directions. But we're not like, you know, we've got a WhatsApp group that is sometimes, you know, we have a good laugh on it. Sometimes you won't hear from it in 3 weeks. And there's no pressure on any of the friendships. It's like, you know, we meet up when we get a chance. Like, sometimes it might be twice a year. But it's a lovely, lovely group of, like, you know, it's nice to have that little. And obviously there's little splinter ones. There's individuals in it that I speak to all the time. But it's nice to have that little fallback, a net of people that, like, you've known, that have known you since before you were you now, since you were a kid, you were in your rawest form. But yeah, so we're not really the types who go, like, let's do a Zoom quiz. It's not our thing. But we did maybe three Zoom quizzes during 2020. And they were all right. They were decent. But yeah, it was, you know, it wasn't our forte. And then, because we can't obviously do our 23rd of December drinks, it was somebody, my friend Sam, mooted it. He went, should we do a Zoom quiz? And literally everyone was like, nah, mate, done with that shit. I'm 2020'd out. I'm not sitting on Zoom for more hours. I've literally spent the whole year on Zoom for meetings and everything. I do not want to hang out on it anymore. It was I understand that. But anyway, what's the latest? I believe there's still truck drivers stuck down in Dover. We've finished up our exemption request for me to try and get into Australia. Whether or not it'll be accepted is a different thing. Apparently you're allowed to just reapply. So you send it in, they might knock you back a couple of days later and say, actually, no, you can't have an exemption. reapply and they can relook at it, and you can do that as many times as you like. So what I'm saying is, if anyone's listening to this who knows anyone who works in the Australian visa office currently dealing with exemptions for non-citizens to come in as immediate family on compassionate grounds, let them know that I'll be like Andy Dufresne in the Shawshank Redemption, mate. Knock me back once, I'll send it in twice. Because I want to go to Australia. It's not just I want to go to Australia, I would like my daughter to meet her grandparents. I'd like them to meet her. It's not, it'd be a lovely thing. She's getting so big. She's got teeth. Two teeth have started to come through. And she's not I thought that would be, when people talk about teething, I know some babies have it, like it's different, they deal with it differently, but I thought it would be like agony for her constantly. And actually, so far, fingers crossed, she doesn't seem to give a shit. She's already quite sort of energetic and, she loves waking up in the night for a little, little chat. So, I don't think, I don't know, maybe it's we've not noticed it, but as I said that, I don't know if you heard her just do a nice loud squawk in the background. She keeps making me laugh. She keeps sort of responding like she knows what she's talking about. Obviously, she doesn't. She doesn't do language yet. But like, I'll say something to Hannah, and Twyla will sort of go meow, like as if it's out, and it sounds exactly in the right tone of as what a response would be like. I think basically she's just mimicking what conversation sounds like. But it's very funny. She does make me laugh. I never knew that. I'm a good audience member. I'm very easy to make laugh. I will say that. The opposite of a lot of comedians. A lot of comedians become essentially dead inside from constantly being around comedy. But I will sit. I'll watch comedian mates who I've watched their set 1,000 times, and I will still be able to sit and crack up at it. Just because I like funny things. I like silliness. I once read about a thing, I just remembered this. Oh, what's it called? I think it's a Hakola or something like that. There was a, in Native American tribes. Tread carefully, Donnelly. No, it's, I remember I went through a weird phase of reading a lot about Native American history, and there's a great book called Black Elk Speaks. It's very good. It's interviews with Black Elk, who was like one of the sort of the last remaining well-known sort of tribal leaders, and a really wise old man. And because he was I forgot the name of the battle, but he was like there, one of the main, the biggest, like most famous battles. And he was just like a young man then. But there was, in each tribe, I don't know if it was every tribe, obviously there was very, it was like sort of, when people talk about them as if they're one big group. They weren't, there were loads of tribes, it's like aboriginals, aborigines. What's the plural? I don't know what I'm on about. No, but the Indigenous Australians, let's call them that. And again, people just get that classic Western thing. I'm just referring to them as if there's just one lot of them. But think how big Australia is. There was countless tribes, groups, languages. That's what I'm saying. But I read about certain Native American tribes. They had one person in each tribe that was basically given the role of like a clown. I think it was like a Hayloka or a Haykola was the word. And they're literally their job, their role in the community was to constantly, basically undermine everything that was going on. You were there to basically take the piss, take the seriousness out of everything. I love that idea. That's a real like. I'm not pretentious enough to say that is what I think I am, but I mean, I think I've always instinctively liked that, undercutting any serious moment. I love having a laugh at a funeral. I love you know, in a real stressful, bad moment, just saying something totally inappropriate that does not reflect how serious your situation is. I've always had that instinct, and I love it. So, like, that's why I was, when I read about those people, you know, there's funny little examples of things that they would do. So, you know, there'd be a big battle coming, and all the men would get up on their horses, and there'd be a big sort of rousing speech, and like all the wives would be sort of crying and seeing them off to battle. Maybe this is the last time they'll ever see them, and off they would march to battle heroically. And then the clown, as they all rode off, would just be like facing the wrong way on his horse, just looking confused. Like things like that to just undercut just how serious that moment is. I think that's great. So yeah, I don't actually know why that came into my mind. I can't remember what I was talking about that allowed that in. But I recommend reading up on them. You know, I also recommend trying to, you know, it's a nice little thing to try. Next time you're stressed, or next time there's something serious and horrible going on. Like obviously, globally at the minute, it's almost a daily occurrence. You know, you'll be surprised how easy it is to just take the sting out of it with something silly. And obviously, you've got to read the room, innit? There are some people that won't react well if you say something very stupid on purpose in a moment of sadness. But you know, you can tell. Sometimes you've got to take the risk, innit, to get the right response. There we go. Just finished my coffee just before I said that. So that was day 23. Any final thoughts? No, it's miserable out. So let's hope, you know, let's hope you've got all your Christmas preps done. We got our Ricardo order yesterday. Very, very good. I think it's much easier being vegan and getting your Christmas Ricardo order. I've heard like there's people online saying their turkey didn't arrive, which is like, fucked, man. Obviously, that's what you meat eaters get for putting so much weight into one dead animal. Do you know what I mean? It's almost impossible for a vegan Christmas dinner to be ruined, because you can always make something else. You know what I mean? It's the easy option. You lot think it's hard being vegan. It's much easier. We don't have sort of centerpieces in meals. You lot with your turkey and your whatever. You lot go and enjoy that. We'll be off making up something. Take care, everyone. I'll see you tomorrow.